Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast contains adult language and content. Listener discretion is advised. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. I'm a female and I was 16 at the time. I used to work occasionally with a family member to earn a bit of pocket money. During breaks, I would secretly go outside to smoke a cigarette. The employees of the neighboring businesses would come out at the same time, and there was this man, around 45 years old, who often smoked at the same time as me. We made small talk about customers, the weather, and mall gossip. Nothing special. One day he told me he had just moved in near my place. He knew where my family lived because they were on good terms. He said he was throwing a housewarming party and had invited everyone from both workplaces. It was supposed to be a big party, and he told me to come. At that age, I was incredibly naive. I loved to go out because I felt deeply lonely and sad. I had never had a boyfriend at that point, and life was pretty boring for me, so any excuse to escape home felt good. So on the day of the party, I went over to his place and rang the doorbell. He opened the door to let me in, and immediately after, locked the door behind me. The door locked with a key from the inside, and he put the key into his underwear. I looked around quickly and realized something was wrong. There was nobody else there. I asked him where everybody was. He said they had already come earlier and left. I reminded him that he told me the party started at 2. He then repeated himself and mumbled something about everyone being there earlier. I remember thinking, well, this is great. I soon noticed that he was tipsy, and after talking for about 5 minutes, he offered to show me the house, which honestly was very nice. When we reached the bedroom, he said, "Here's your room. Look, you even have a big walk-in closet. I can make more space if you need." I laughed nervously and said, "Ha, yeah, right, you're funny." Then we went back to the living room, sat down, and then suddenly, he jumped on me. He was touching me under my clothes and kissing me as he partially removed his. I tried to push him away, and luckily, he was more drunk than I thought. One big kick was enough to knock him to the floor. As he sat there confused, he said, "I don't understand. You don't want to? What about all those times you smiled at me, waved to say hello, talked while smoking, and laughed at my jokes?" I felt pure disgust rising inside of me. Those words made my stomach churn. His stupidity made me dissociate completely. I told him I appreciated talking to him at work, but that was it. We were just colleagues. I left it vague because I was afraid he might get angry. And that is when he completely lost it. He snarled, "My ex-wife has the same name as you. She has the same beauty mark, the same origin, the same face, hair, and body. You're her twin, but better. When I saw you, I couldn't believe my eyes. You're beautiful, like a younger, sweeter version of her. Anyway, we'll still need to see how we're going to arrange the house for you and our future children. Buying it wasn't the hard part. That was when I knew I was in danger. Honestly, I kept visualizing myself dying every time that his heavy body leaned towards me. He was a drunk man who was twice my size, and he was acting psychotic. I really thought I was about to meet my end. At some point, he went into the bathroom. Due to how much alcohol he had, it took him a good 10 minutes. He asked me to go to the bathroom with him, and I said no and told him I would wait. During that time, I called one of my coworkers and told him what was going on. I begged him to get me out of here. Unfortunately, he wasn't even in town. He was friends with this guy, and he had trouble believing that his friend was doing something like this. He told me to try and leave, and if it didn't work, he said he would drive back from where he was for the weekend to come and get me. My brain was racing. I told him to forget it. He told me to stay calm and call the police. I then quickly hung up, since this psycho came out of the bathroom. I tried to tell him I needed to leave, and that was when he said the sentence that completely broke me. No, you're not leaving. We're about to have so much fun. I was stunned. I was frozen. I gave him no reaction at all. He tried several times to sleep with me. Each time I managed to distract him and change the topic. I was willing to do anything. I was in pure survival mode. I told myself my only chance was to play along until I found a way out. At around 10 p.m., after being trapped there since 2, I pretended I needed to go get some clothes and medication, so I tried to say I needed to leave so that I could come back, but this idiot had everything planned. He had plenty of clothes from his ex-wife, aka my twin. However, he was getting tired from all of the alcohol and weed he had consumed. His eyes were closing as he was sitting on the couch. I told him I still needed to go get this very specific medication that I needed to take. I said that I would go get it and come right back, saying it would be a quick round trip. He made me promise and I agreed, staying in character, acting sweet, all for the sake of my life. Then he opened the door and told me that if I wasn't back by midnight, he would call my mother's boss, lie about a situation, have her fired, and hurt my mom. He then watched me until I turned the corner of the street. After crying all of the tears in my body, in a completely broken state, I started walking towards my house. What was I going to tell my parents? My mother knew I was supposed to be at the housewarming. What if she got hurt or lost her job? All because of me. What would I do? And that was when, out of nowhere, my guardian angel appeared on a bike. "Hey, got a cigarette for me?" he asked. I was smoking as I was walking. Through tears, I replied, "Yeah, here." "Whoa, why are you crying?" he asked. "What's wrong? Tell me." I told him the entire story, barely able to speak. I was essentially hyperventilating, but I told him everything. "If I don't go back over there, my mom is going to get in trouble," I said. He stopped and asked to see the house. He convinced me I would be safe, so we walked a bit, and I showed him exactly where it was. He then said, "All right, noted. I've seen the guy who lives there. You go home, go to sleep, and forget all about it, okay?" I replied, "But if I don't get back to him..." But he interrupted, "Don't even think about it. Forget all about it, and I'll text you tomorrow morning, okay?" I agreed and went home. I was terrified and traumatized, but I eventually fell asleep, shaking. The next morning at around 8 a.m., I received a message from the guy on the bike. He said, "Everything's fine. I hope you slept well, despite everything. Have a good day." I responded, "Thank you. But what happened?" He just replied with a winky face. The day passed, and I never heard from the psycho. The day after that, I ran into a coworker outside. he said. Damn, did you hear what happened to the guy who works next to us? He just moved into his place 2 days ago and he already had to move out. I asked how that was possible, he replied. Some people broke into his place at night and destroyed everything. Absolutely everything. It looks like they roughed him up a bit, too. He could barely talk when he came to pick up his stuff at work. I never saw the guy again after that night, but I will forever be grateful for that. I hope we never meet again. My father had been dating this woman for a while, and things were going great. She had met us a few times and got along great with my sister and me, so eventually my father asked her to move in with us. She drove 7 hours to move in and brought her 2 cats. Things were going great for the first 2 months, until she couldn't find a job. She moved in on July 2nd, and she had agreed that she was going to apply for jobs and have at least an interview secured before she moved in. She didn't have a job until late the following January. I, being fresh out of high school, with no experience in a job setting, was able to get a job before her. This meant that my father had to cover her car payments and insurance while she was unemployed, and this set us back financially. But we were all right. When October rolled around, my father discovered a full year's worth of text messages between her and a friend of hers named Jared. These messages had been taking place while she was with my father and had been together, starting from when she was still living in her hometown. These text messages were laced with details about him coming over and giving her nighttime lovin's, and there were all sorts of inappropriate pictures. My dad confronted her about it, and she denied everything. She said that we just didn't understand their friendship. My father just let it go because they hadn't messaged each other in weeks. After that, small arguments were popping up between them, and she started sneaking money out of my dad's wallet at night to go buy cigarettes. This might not sound like that big of a deal, but it was a nightly occurrence, which set us back financially as well. Their arguments mainly consisted of her lying about something and not admitting it, or her doing something stupid and not apologizing, and things only got worse as Christmas came. My father expressed that he didn't love her anymore. He told her that he didn't have feelings towards her and that she needed to work to fix their relationship if she wanted to continue. This meant that she really needed to try and get a job, and she had to stop lying about things. She agreed that she would, and I advised him against giving her the option since I was tired of her antics and I wanted her out. She then began to lie more and caused more problems. We believe that she started taking some sort of drug, as she would come back from a drive all shaky and spazzing out, spouting nonsense. She also came after a friend of mine and me during one of their arguments, to which my father responded, "Pack your shit up and get the fuck out. How dare you go after my kid?" Telling her to get out and leave became a regular occurrence in their fights, but she never took the hint. She was emotionally abusive to everyone in the household, especially my father. She brought him to tears when he found out that she had been receiving $1,000 a month from her mother, which would have kept us staying up to date on rent payments. We have no idea what she did with that money, though. No matter what the situation, she would try to twist it so that she would be the victim. And when my father would call someone asking for a second opinion, she'd call them the party of persecution. As far as she was concerned, nothing was ever her fault, and everything was always a misunderstanding. She then started smoking in the garage. The door from the garage into the house is right across from my bedroom door, which was always open because our cats like sleeping on my bed with me. I have asthma, so I woke up coughing and smelling cigarettes multiple times throughout the night because of her. She also drove recklessly with my little sister and me in the car, and I told my father what happened, and when my father confronted her, she said that I was exaggerating. She endangered my sisters and my cats as well. We have two cats who are strictly indoors, and her two cats were outdoor cats until they moved in with us. Her cats have taught our cats how to sneak out of the house when the front door isn't latched. She left the front door open constantly when she came back in from smoking, which subsequently led to our indoor cats getting out. We live right across the street from a huge lot of desert land, and we hear coyotes out there every night, so it's not safe for any of the cats to be out there. After she finally got a job, she didn't want to contribute her fair share to the bills. My father asked her for half of her paychecks every 2 weeks. She claimed it should only be 25% since there were four people living in the house. My sister and I are only there during the weekend as we go to school out of town, about an hour away. We stay at other family members' houses during the week while we're at school. She also wasn't making her car payments after she got her job, and she received a repossession notice, which she hid from my father. Finally, after wrecking us financially, abusing my father emotionally, endangering myself, my sister, and our cats, doing drugs, taking money, stealing things from my room, and many other things, my father gave her 2 weeks to move out. She finally moved out, and all I have to say to her is, let's not meet again because I will not be nice like I had to be before. Not after she broke my father. There's a lot of noise in the hair supplement world, and honestly, that's one of the reasons I like working with Nutrafol. They take a much more thoughtful approach to their hair health instead of just promising quick fixes. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand and is the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Their hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested to measure improvements in hair growth, quality, and strength. What I appreciate is that they focus on the underlying factors that affect hair health instead of treating it like a one-size-fits-all program. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women that are tailored to different life stages and lifestyle factors, so people can choose the option that fits their situation best. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is simple. You can order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you consistent. And with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks, like a free Headspace membership to support your overall hair health journey. Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code MEAT. That's Nutrafol.com spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MEAT.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I grew up in a town called Luther, Michigan. It's in the middle of the Manistee Forest. This place was small. So small that it had a population of about 300 people. I lived with my grandpa at the time, and we lived in a small one-bedroom cabin that he built deep in the woods. To even get to it, you needed to drive down a 2-mile two-track. So, needless to say, unless you knew who my grandpa was, or unless you were family, no random person was going to accidentally direct themselves into our front yard. So, now that I've painted that picture, let's move on to the story. I must have been about 7 or 8 years old, and as I said, it was a small one-bedroom cabin, and as such, my bedroom was actually the living room. We had this giant window looking out into the front area of the house. During the day, you could see the driveway, the shed, my grandpa's project cars and trucks, and various farm stuff that we had. But at night, it was pitch black. You couldn't see anything. It was like someone put a black blanket over the entire house. My bed was positioned right up against this window, so I would be sleeping right next to it. I would just curl up with my back against the window and fall asleep. I was a pretty heavy sleeper as a kid, so once I fell asleep, I'd be out the whole night. One night, after I said my prayers and I got into bed, my grandpa tucked me in to go to sleep and sat by the fire to read his Bible. Most nights, he would read the Bible aloud until I fell asleep, and then he'd go into his room to sleep himself. This particular night wasn't any different. After tucking me in, he got into his chair, took out his Bible, and started to read, so I slowly fell asleep. I was asleep for maybe 3 to 4 hours. When I finally woke up, my grandpa fell asleep in the chair. My back was hurting, so I turned around to my other side. So I turned around on my other side so that my face was staring out the window. And just when I was about to close my eyes to go back to sleep, I swore I saw a silhouette of what looked like a man standing right outside the window. Keep in mind, it was already pitch black out there, so this meant he would have had to have been standing inches from the glass. At first, I thought I was seeing things, so I blinked a few times to adjust my eyes, but it was still there. I remember feeling very scared, so I didn't move. I believe I thought that maybe if I didn't move, whoever this was would think I was asleep and just leave. But the shadow did not leave. And once my eyes fully adjusted, I was able to make out even more details. I could tell that this was, in fact, a man with stubble, and he was standing essentially right against the glass. Again, I didn't move. The man then knew his face was at the same level as mine, and he looked right at me. I began to cry. I was shaking. I woke up my grandpa. And when my grandpa got out of his chair, the man outside the window took off into the woods. My grandpa then came over to me and started to rub my back. He asked what was wrong, and I told him what I saw. I had a rough childhood, and if I lied to anyone, I'd get my ass beat. So he knew that I wouldn't make this up. My grandpa then turned on the house lights, went into his room and came out with the shotgun, then went outside. He came over to me and said that he was going to stay up with me. He even let me watch TV all night, which he never let me do. And the whole night he sat facing the door of the cabin with shotgun in hand. Once it was morning, the first thing he did was put curtains over all the windows. Then we went outside, and sure enough, there were footprints in the dirt that led from our window and out into the deep woods. After that, I wasn't allowed to play in the woods by myself anymore. And my grandpa moved my bed away from the window. About a week or so later, my grandpa was watching the news after dinner, and there was a story about a recently escaped prisoner who was found near Becky Trail outside Luther. The two-track that led to our cabin was Becky Trail. The escapee was hiding out in a hunting shack about a mile away from where we were. To this day, being alone in the woods at night terrifies me. I'm frequently online, which was basically where this entire mistake came from. I'm a single college student who is trying to get to know people and have fun. I never thought I would have a story like this one to share, but here we are. I had a cold when I was texting some of my matches from a certain app, but not the one that you're probably thinking of. I was talking to one guy named Kevin. Kevin had an adult job, which I admired. And he claimed he was pretty well known in the industry that he worked in, which was the restaurant business. So he claimed that other restaurants gave him free drinks all the time. He also said he got rid of his car and strictly Ubered around, which to me meant he must have been a bit of a drinker, but he claimed he was sober. Again, I had a bad cold, and I was also training for my new job, Since my employer knew that I was sick, he told me that I could leave training if I needed to. Kevin seemed pretty decent on the dating app, and he kept trying to get me to go out with him that night. Keep in mind, I didn't start working until 8:30 p.m., and it was probably 11 p.m. when this happened. Kevin insisted, "I'll take an Uber both ways. I really want to see you. I'll come to you. Just one drink. You're cute. You're pretty." He kept saying stuff like that, and I agreed since I guess I was naive. So I drove 15 minutes to a restaurant. He was already at the bar and had already ordered a beer. I walked in, found him, and sat next to him, then ordered a mojito. I was less attracted to him in person right off the bat, but I wasn't sure why. As we were sitting at the bar, he laughed at everything I said, whether it was funny or not, and he used his laughter as an excuse to move closer to me and touch me. He would not stop staring at me. I could feel his eyes boring into the side of my head as I stared straight ahead, hoping that the female bartender would somehow sense how uncomfortable I was. He kept trying to touch me and tickle me, but the entire time I was just pushing his hands off of me. Then, the second I looked over at him, he put his mouth on mine. He was trying to make out with me right there at the bar. His hand was also in my hair with a tight grip, and I was trying to move my head away. We had only been on this quote-unquote date for an hour. Then he said, "I came here from 40 minutes away just to see you. Remember how important that is." Every time he tried to touch or kiss me, I visibly moved away. And he even tried to tell me how much he thought I was enjoying his advances. I should have just gotten up and left after 5 minutes, but hindsight is 20/20. Eventually, I managed to wrap up this date, and he insisted on walking me to my car. I was trying to get him to leave, but he took an Uber there, so he needed to wait for one to come. As he was walking me to my car, I asked him to call an Uber. He said that he actually couldn't call an Uber since he wasn't going to have enough money in his account to get one until the next morning. Even though hours ago, he said he would take an Uber both ways. He had plenty of cash, so I told him to take a taxi instead. He said there weren't any taxis around here, and he would need to walk to a neighboring town to get a taxi. By then, we had reached the car, and he had pinned me against the driver's side door, trying to make out or grope me again. I was trying my best to get him off of me, and he was telling me that he just assumed he was going to come home with me. Then I said I had homework to do. But of course, he said he would help me with the homework, and he asked if I lived alone. I said no. I told him I had a roommate, which I didn't really have. He then promised that he would be quiet, and no matter what I said, he had some workaround for it. I finally said that I don't go home with men. He kept trying to say that it would be okay since he was a quote-unquote good guy, but I kept telling him no. I eventually got him to walk away from my car and call whoever he needed to call for a ride. Then I sped away, making sure to take a different route so that he wouldn't know which way I actually went to go home. "Kevin, you are not a good guy. I should have reported you on the app before I immediately unmatched you when I got home, but let's not meet again." I live in Slovenia, and there is a small forest near my house. It's about 200 meters by 200 meters, almost like a square. There's a country road on the side that farmers use, and there are small roads that go into the forest, so it's divided into four parts. It's not remote, but it isn't super busy either. There's a main road next to it, but hardly any cars pass by. One part of the forest, the back left section, has always creeped me out ever since I was a kid. The rest of it feels fine, but that one area, well, something just always feels wrong about it. Back in 2024, I was walking along that part of the forest. I was a teenager, and walking alone since the place is safe for taking walks and stuff like that. The path that I was on curved a bit, so I couldn't see too far ahead. And when I turned a corner, suddenly there was a man right in front of me, about 6 meters away. I didn't hear him coming. I didn't hear any footsteps or rustling or anything like that at all. It was like he appeared out of nowhere. He was an adult man, definitely not in his 20s or 30s. He was older. I immediately felt like I needed to watch out for him since I was a young girl and he was an older man. So I didn't turn my back to him. I just kept walking while trying to remain very aware of where he was. As I looked at him, and he was staring at me, I told myself that if he started walking toward me, I would sprint straight into the field next to us. Eventually, I turned forward again, and I didn't see him. So I assumed he just walked away, but something still felt off. I took a look around again, and I noticed that he was off of the trail and deeper into the forest itself. He was walking through the woods in a section where people don't usually walk, especially not during summer when it's full of underbrush. He was walking in the direction I had come from, and he was holding a roll of duct tape. The thick gray kind that every dad has for some reason. I stared at him. I didn't want to lose sight of him because it felt wrong and creepy. I mean, who the hell brings duct tape with them into the forest and hides in the trees, walking in the direction of a teenage girl? A bit later, he showed up again, riding a small electric scooter that he literally had in those same bushes. He still had the duct tape, and he looked at me. I was heading back then, and I knew there was no way I was letting him get behind me. I pretended to tie my shoelaces until he seemed far enough away. He started riding off in the opposite direction, but kept stopping and looking back at me as he went. I was beyond creeped out. The whole thing felt like a setup for a horror movie. A teenage girl alone and a creepy man in the woods hiding in the trees with duct tape. I couldn't stop thinking about how bad that could have turned out if I hadn't been alert. I didn't report it at the time. I don't remember if I even had my phone. I was so focused on staying safe that calling police didn't register as an option. I also didn't tell my parents. I don't remember what I was thinking at that moment. I just knew that I didn't feel any fear, anxiety, or pain. I was just very aware. But when I've thought about this in hindsight, I've felt so much anxiety because God knows what could have happened. When people talk about improving energy or recovery, they usually jump straight to workouts, protein, or supplements. But something that gets overlooked is gut health. If your gut isn't dialed in, a lot of the things that you're doing just don't work the way they should. That's why I like Momentous Fiber Plus. Momentous Fiber Plus addresses one of the most overlooked foundations of long-term performance, gut health. Fiber isn't just about digestion. It's a key driver of gut health, which directly impacts nutrient absorption, energy stability, focus, recovery, mood, and overall performance. But what I like about Fiber Plus is that it's not just more fiber. It's a complete 3-in-1 formula with soluble fiber, insoluble fiber, and prebiotic-resistant starch. That combination supports gut health from start to finish by feeding beneficial bacteria in your gut, improving digestion, and helping stabilize blood sugar so that you get steady energy without spikes and crashes. Like everything from Momentous, Fiber Plus is built with a science-first formulation, clean and minimal ingredients, and no artificial additives or artificial flavors. Every product is independently certified by NSF for sport and informed sport, meaning it's tested for contaminants, heavy metals, banned substances, and verified for label accuracy. And if a product doesn't meet their standard, it never hits the shelves. Right now, Momentous is offering our listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code MEAT. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code MEAT for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code MEAT.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
A few years back, I was living with my aunt and uncle after moving to a new state. They had just moved into a new home and a new subdivision. In this area, door-to-door salesmen swarmed the new development and new builds, selling water softeners, cleaning supplies, solar panels, generators, and of course, there were Kirby vacuum people. These salesmen wandered the neighborhood all day, knocking on doors, but usually they were gone by around 5 p.m. On this particular evening, I was home alone with my dog, a mutt who was mostly black lab and an unknown mixture. He was roughly the size and weight of a full-breed Labrador, but he had a stockier build with long, wiry fur. He was a gentle, sweet dog who was upset if someone spoke harshly to him. I'd never known him to be threatening to anyone. My aunt and uncle were out celebrating their anniversary, and during this time of year, the days were getting longer, so it wasn't completely dark until around 8 p.m. It was about 7 and the sun was starting to set when someone rang the doorbell and knocked on the door. The door was one of those with a thick glass oval window, so I could see who was at the door from my kitchen. I was going to ignore them, but unfortunately, they saw me, so they continued to knock. I went to answer the door, and my dog followed me, but stood off to the side in the shadows of the dining room. The person at the door was a young man who appeared to be about college age. He was dressed in a collared shirt and khakis, and he was wearing a tie. He looked a bit like a Mormon missionary, but with a bit of style, and he was thin and about my height, which is about 5'8 or 5'9. I figured he was a salesman of some sort, but I thought that it was odd that he was out this late in the day. Maybe I could open the door a crack, tell him I wasn't interested, and then lock the door. Well, I opened the door a few inches to speak through it, and he immediately started this spiel about Kirby vacuum cleaners, and he said he wanted to come in and give me a demo. It wasn't my house, and I knew once he was in, he wasn't going to leave without selling something. I didn't need an overpriced vacuum, so I said, no thank you, not interested, and I shut the door. He did the thing where he put his foot between the door and the door jamb to stop the door from closing. This was when I thought, what the fuck? And then, I heard a vicious growl behind me, just to my right, followed by some deep barking, and then my dog lunged for the door. I grabbed his collar to keep him from going out the door, and this guy's mouth dropped open. His eyes got really wide, and he looked like he was ready to pass out or piss himself as he jumped back from the door and backed away. He then said, I'm sorry, I got the wrong house. He then turned and ran to the end of the driveway, where a car with three men pulled up to get him, and they sped off, tires squealing. I told my aunt and uncle about this when they got home, and we told a few neighbors so that they could keep an eye out for the same unusual kind of behavior. It's possible that these guys were a team of Kirby salesmen since they do travel in teams of four, but I was suspicious because it was late in the day for them to be knocking on doors, and it was a team of four men. Usually they have a team with two or more women in the group because they're knocking on doors at a time of day when women are going to be home alone and women are unlikely to let strange men inside their homes. So to the team of possible Kirby salesmen working late to meet quotas, or a team of home invaders, whoever you are, my dog Cosmo wasn't going to let me take any chances on you. I'm an 18-year-old female, and I live at home with my parents and my 2-year-old daughter. This happened when I was on winter break from college. I had been picking up more shifts at work since my mom was off work and willing to watch my daughter, so I'd have some extra money. As such, I was staying up pretty late and not going to sleep until midnight or 1 a.m. on nights when I was picking up extra shifts. When I would be up that late, I wouldn't wake up until 9 a.m. to get ready for my next shift, and sometimes my daughter would be up late with me as well. On this particular night, it was around 10:45 p.m., and I texted my boyfriend since I suddenly heard the back door slam shut, followed by the sound of running water. I was on my phone watching TikTok while my child was in front of me, playing with one of her Christmas gifts. I didn't want to wake my parents up, or worry them over nothing, so I got up and I went to check it out. Sure enough, the back door was unlocked, the outside door was wide open, and the kitchen sink was left running. Our house has a basement, so the stairs are in a small room by the kitchen, which essentially has two back doors. I was the last person in the kitchen beforehand, and the water was off. I let the dogs in, so both doors had been shut. We have cats, but none of them were in the kitchen, and while the living room is attached to the kitchen, there is a piece of wood that's about 3 feet tall, acting as a barrier separating the two so that my daughter can't get into things like pet food, the water bowl, the litter box, the stove, etc. So I then locked all of the doors and all of the windows on the first and second floor. While upstairs, we only have two windows that can be unlocked, and while I was double-checking everything, I saw a figure moving in the alley behind our garage. Our garage has motion-activated lights that went off as soon as I stepped into the kitchen, meaning that if someone were inside, they would have triggered it. I was terrified, but I still didn't want to wake my dad up, just in case there wasn't anyone actually there. I didn't want to inconvenience him. Or sound crazy. I was hoping I imagined it and was just experiencing a bunch of strange coincidences. The motion lights could have been going off for a cat, a rabbit, or even a neighbor's dog. But that still doesn't explain why I had to turn off the sink or close the back door. So I didn't really know what to do. We all thought that somebody had been frogging because we would find certain windows open when they'd have no reason to be open. We also found doors unlocked when we didn't leave them unlocked. Random things would appear, like a pair of men's pants that were slightly bigger than my size. They weren't mine, and they were far too small to be my dad's. I'm at a loss as to what to do, so to whoever came into my house and turned on my faucet, of all things, let's not meet. The next time it happens, I'm just going to wake up my dad and tell him, there's an intruder. Two weeks ago, I needed to stop at the store to get some groceries, and I had my 3-month-old daughter with me. She was fussing, so I parked in the back of the parking lot because walking calms her down, and I didn't want to bring a screaming baby into a store. I completely parked my car when I had this feeling that I needed to move under a security camera. Now, I'm not typically a paranoid person, but I just had this inexplicable feeling. So I cranked my car back up and moved directly next to the camera. As a new mom, I am constantly struggling to attach the car seat to the stroller. I'm not sure why I find it so difficult, but I can never latch it right the first time, or the fifth time. Basically, it's a 3 or 4 minute ordeal every time I have to go somewhere. As I struggled, I saw this SUV with dark-tinted windows pull into the parking lot and come directly over me. Then it parked directly in front of me, blocking my exit. I was backed up to the curb so I couldn't reverse out. The man driving the SUV then rolled his window down and addressed me, which immediately made me feel sick to my stomach. He said, "Hey, I'm selling meat and yogurt. They're in the back of my car. Would you like to buy some?" Very firmly, I said, "No." He then said, "How about I give you a free sample? Come over here. I'll give you something for free." I was now on high alert. Not only did I have a very bad gut feeling upon his arrival, but he had me instantly singled out in this gigantic parking lot. Plus, he had me blocked in while offering me meat and yogurt. If I had hair on my arms, surely it would have been standing on end. I looked him dead in the eyes, pointed to the security camera overhead, and said, "Absolutely not, you're on camera." Without hesitation or saying another word to me, he then immediately rolled up the window and left the parking lot, quickly. I stayed by the camera until I watched him leave and turn back onto the highway. After he was gone, I went into the store. I stayed in the store much longer than necessary, and I was thankful that security was driving down the aisle I was parked in when I left. I felt vulnerable, struggling with the stroller and being alone with my infant daughter. I'm grateful I listened to my intuition that day, and I no longer park in the back of parking lots.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This happened when I was in high school. I was living with my parents and my younger brother in a house in the suburbs. The area I grew up in was quiet and safe. We lived in the Midwest, and the town that we lived in was as Midwest as you can get. And what I mean is, everyone knew each other, but even if someone was a stranger, even the strangers were sweet and eager to help. I'll say there were some exceptions to this, of course. Our neighborhood was the kind where every house had the same layout, so everyone was pretty much living on an equal level. No house or property was bigger than the other. This created a sense of community. Everyone got along well. There was hardly any crime, as everyone was under similar circumstances. It would be an understatement to say I felt safe, comfortable, and completely at ease where I lived. That was until these weird things started to happen. It started with small things that were pretty inconsequential in the moment, but when I look back at everything, I always connect them, which makes me realize there was something very strange going on. It started at the beginning of my junior year of high school. One morning, I had woken up early to put away my clothes, and because I'm weird about these kinds of things, I made sure that all of my dressers and drawers were closed before I left. I was the last one out of the house because I had a doctor's appointment. I was also the first one to return home later in the day, but when I came up to my room, my door wasn't closed all the way, and my closet was completely open. I thought this was weird, but I brushed it off. This ended up happening more than once, and I noticed sometimes a t-shirt or a pair of pants would be missing after that, but I told myself I was just overthinking it and likely lost these items on my own somehow. Another night, after I had gone to bed, I was woken up by the sound of footsteps coming up the stairs. The fifth stair, in particular, creaked very badly, and when I heard that, I snapped awake. I remember it clearly because I could hear the sound of it over my fan. After the footsteps stopped, I checked every room upstairs. All the bedrooms were on the second floor. Now, in this instance, all of the doors were closed, and everyone was sleeping. The doors also creaked pretty loudly, so I would have heard somebody walking out of their room since I was the only one who slept with their door open. Since everyone seemed to be sound asleep, I went back to bed. But I remember hearing the creak of the fifth stair one more time. I stayed awake for a while to try and hear it again, but I didn't bother getting up in case my mind was playing tricks on me. I casually asked my family about it the next morning, but everyone said that they hadn't heard it, and they slept through the night. All of these little incidents then culminated into one of the weirdest experiences I've had to date. It was halfway through the year, and I had just driven myself and my brother home from high school. Once we were home, I walked inside, threw my bags on the dining table, and laid down on the couch to watch some TV. My brother then went downstairs to take the dog out before playing some video games. I could tell by the fact that there were no other cars in the garage that my parents were still at work, so I put the volume on medium so that I could listen out for them when they got back. My parents used to give me a lot of crap for watching TV after school. Everything was fine, but I started dozing off. And then I heard a distinct thumping noise coming from upstairs. Initially, I thought it was my imagination. I watch a lot of scary movies, so I tend to be a bit jumpy sometimes. I went back to my show, but the thumping continued for about 5 minutes, and that was when I finally decided something was off. So I muted the TV and just listened for a few minutes. The thumping continued. It was a rhythmic thumping with occasional squeaking, and it was coming directly from upstairs. I thought that it might have just been my dog, since he sometimes paced up and down the stairs trying to find a step to sleep on, so I called out for him. But my brother shouted and said that he was downstairs with him. So I walked up the stairs to the top and I listened. From there I could hear that this sound was coming from directly above me. I started to get scared when I realized the only thing above that space was the attic. And what was even more unsettling was that I realized it didn't seem to be thumping. It sounded exactly like footsteps. It sounded like someone was wearing boots and they were pacing around in the attic. Even though I was thinking the worst, I just told myself to be practical. There were only two entrances into the attic. There was a small panel in the ceiling of my brother's bedroom and a third-story window outside. I checked my brother's bedroom and the panel looked like it hadn't even been touched. We hadn't even opened it since we moved in because the previous owners told us that it was just insulation and wiring. They said there wasn't much room in there for more than a few things, maybe just a dresser and a bed. I then thought about how we were having trouble recently with our dish for the TV. My dad had called a repairman to fix it, so I thought maybe someone had shown up to fix it. But there was no repair van parked around our house. After I was done investigating this, my brother was standing in the doorway asking what was going on since he heard me looking around. I told him about it, and we walked back out into the hall to make sure that I wasn't crazy. When he walked over the top of the stairs, he got this weird look on his face and asked, "What is that?" I felt relieved knowing it wasn't just me. I then whispered, "It sounds like somebody is walking up there, right?" My brother nodded and pointed downstairs. I knew what he was talking about, and I followed him. The floors are pretty thin, so in case there was a person walking up there, we needed to talk quietly about what we were going to do. I then told my brother about the dish repairman and stuff, and he shook his head and said that people weren't coming until later in the week. We decided to call our dad. When I explained everything to my dad, I could tell he didn't believe us but was trying to be nice about it. I guess I didn't blame him. It was honestly so improbable for someone to want to be in our attic, let alone get in there. He said it was probably just a bird or a raccoon, which was fair since we lived near some woods. I tried to explain that no animal would make that kind of thumping sound. If it were a bird, it would have just been repeatedly slamming itself onto the floor, and even then, it wouldn't explain how the floor creaked afterward like someone was shifting their weight. My dad said just to wait it out since he would be home soon, and I said fine. The thumping had been going on for well over 30 minutes at that point. I was still unsure about what was going on, so I decided I would camp out in my brother's room until it stopped, just in case. About 15 minutes later, I realized I had to use the bathroom. There was a bathroom right next to my brother's room, but it was still under the attic. As I was washing up, the footsteps became a lot louder. They were now directly above me. It was strange because the thumping was loud when I was in my brother's room, and it seemed to be above me then, so this seemed to mean that the footsteps had moved to follow me. Sometimes, when I'm really scared, I get angry. I banged on the ceiling twice. Now, I'm pretty tall for a girl, so I was able to just reach up and use my fist. I did that, and I shouted, "What the fuck is this?" The steps then completely stopped. I was confused for a second until, clear as day, there were two loud thumps in response. It was like somebody intentionally stomped their foot loudly. I then ran out of the bathroom, and my brother came upstairs mouthing, "What just happened?" The pacing had started again, so I quickly explained everything to my brother. He grabbed his phone and dialed our dad again. As he tried explaining everything, I could tell that our dad still wasn't giving in. Frustrated and scared, I took the phone from my brother and I put my dad on speakerphone. I held the phone up toward the attic and insisted, "Listen to this." Then suddenly and immediately the footsteps completely stopped. There was absolutely no sound whatsoever. After a minute of silence, my dad asked, "Listen to what? What sound?" My brother and I looked at each other and bolted down the stairs. I told my dad to get home quickly, and we'd be waiting downstairs for him. He said he was pulling up to the driveway, so we opened the door and ran out to him. After my brother and I quickly explained things, short of breath and sounding insane, he followed us upstairs to where the sound was coming from. By then, there wasn't a sound. And even though we asked him several times to take a look, he laughed and told us we were just overreacting. He said there was nothing up there, and taking out the panel might cause some damage to the ceiling. He was adamant about this, and he said that he wasn't going to try and check it out unless he heard the noise himself. Of course, the footsteps never came back, at least not when anyone was awake. My brother stayed in my room for a few days because he was so freaked out, but we were never able to prove what happened to our parents. One thing I will note, when the Dish people finally came to fix our broadcast problems, I noticed that instead of using a ladder, they went around to our backyard and climbed to the roof straight from our deck. They were able to walk around pretty freely up there and could easily get to the window of our attic if they tried. I always wondered if someone was secretly living up there and coming down at night without us knowing. But if that were the case, why did the person make us aware of them that day with their footsteps? Stick around after the music if you're a patron for your extended version of this week's episode. If you want to get access, go to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. You'll get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, with bonus stories and those extensions every week. These are stories you won't hear anywhere else. Again, that's patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast. Be sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Odd Trails, my true paranormal podcast, and the Old Time Radio Cast at CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. Also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/CrypticCounty. This week you have heard One of the Scariest Moments of My Life by Jana. Dear Father's Ex-Girlfriend, Let's Not Meet Again by Pink Pallid Bat. Man Outside My Window by Expected Texas 52, The Worst Date I've Ever Had by Skyheart 628, The Man in the Forest by Rough Yogurt 777, My Dog Might Have Saved Me from a Home Invasion by Chrissy 510, I Think Someone Was Just in My House by Error Error, Near Abduction by Alina, and finally, Stranger in the Attic by Anonymous. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet a True Horror podcast is not associated with Reddit or any of the message boards online. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. We'll see you next week. Stay safe. Over 3 years ago, I went to Kema for a friend's bachelor.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.